Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Victorious Living. This is your host, Minister Janice. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Unspotted. I said unspotted from the world. Unspotted even from yourself. Unspotted. No spots. Think about that. Think about that. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come today thanking you, God, for your grace and your mercy. Because we know, God, that your grace and mercy outweigh everything. Everything that we're doing, your grace and mercy, Lord. Oh, your grace and mercy. It outweighs it. Your grace and your mercy. Oh, God, your mercy, God, they're new every day. They're new. We can't begin to talk about the goodness of your grace and mercy. Your grace and your mercy. Oh, God, many times we don't even deserve the mercy, God, that you give us. But you give it to us anyway. And we're just grateful, Lord. We are grateful, God. We are grateful for the opportunity that you've given us, God, that we can open up our mouths and proclaim your word, God. You said in your word that we should never be ashamed, oh, God, that we should learn how to rightfully divide the word of truth, God. And when we open up our mouth, we come giving the truth, Master. And we don't have to turn around and apologize for giving the truth, God, because the truth comes from you, God. If anybody have any arts or any complaints or anything about the truth, God, they have to see you, God, because the word comes from you. And so we are just grateful today, God, that you fight every battle, oh, God, because the battle is not for us, oh, God. It doesn't belong to us, God. It belongs to you, Master. And we are just grateful, God, that we have a king, oh, God, that sits high, oh, God, and looks low. Oh, God, we are grateful. We are grateful, oh, God, to be of the children of the Most High God. We are grateful. Hallelujah. Yes. To be handpicked. To be chosen. To be anointed, to be called, to be selected, to represent you, God. Oh, and we thank you, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus. Oh, we bless his holy name. We bless him. And we thank you, God, because it's in your name we pray. And we all say amen. We say glory to the Most High God. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. So we're supposed to be unspotted. No spots. That's what James is saying to us. James chapter 1 and 27. We have been talking about fear, being afraid, being frightened, scared, uncertain, scared to death, terrorized. We have been discussing this. We have learned that there are a pack that's called the fear game, the fearful game, the game that comes and sits on your shoulder and recites all the negative thoughts that you have heard, you've heard it, that you've been through, that you've been trying to forget. But they come and they bring it up. They remind you. They come and lay on you even before you get out of bed in the morning. Yeah. You hear all of this unpleasant chatter that comes when we take time to listen to Satan, to Lucifer, to his imps. They come. Yes, yes. He tells us we are not capable of any success, or we don't have anyone who will actually listen to what we have to say. Woo! We don't have anything really to say. No one likes you. Yeah, that he is great. Yeah, and he's full of intimidations. He's great. He's full of intimidations. But I'm here to tell you tonight that there's someone that's greater. Hallelujah. He's greater. And he sits high and he looks low. Glory to God. Yeah, yeah. His name is Jesus. Glory to God. The root of intimidation. This is where we're going. The root of intimidation comes from an old habit that all human beings have of comparing ourselves. And you know, we know we do that. We did that when we were little. We used to look at so-and-so and say, well, look at your hair. Your hair is curly. My hair is nappy. No. Look at your hair. Your hair is pretty. Your hair pretty, too. Every piece of hair is pretty in its own right, in its own glory. Yes. Why? Because this is the hair that God has given you. Yeah, but we start off with intimidation when we're little. Little. We try to compare ourselves to other people when we're little. Intimidation. Intimidation can refer to the act of making someone feel intimidated or even feel afraid, to bring that fearness, that frightened. Huh? The uncertain. That spirit, to bring that spirit, to stir it up, to have it multiplying, to have it come in and bring the rest of his imps with him. Yeah, because we're going to find out that when the intimidation comes, he comes with fear, but he comes with some other stuff. Yeah, he not coming alone. He coming with a pack. We call it the game, the fear game. Intimidation can also heighten the ability to be shy. Think about that. Yeah, think about someone who's intimidated. They're usually shy. They're timid. Think, they're timid. They're not outspoken, because see, if you were outspoken, you wouldn't be intimidated. Because when the intimidator come, you who are outspoken, you who are not shy, you who are bold in Christ will know how to tell him in the name of Jesus, huh? You have no place here. In the name of Jesus. Yes. Yes. When you're not shy, when you don't feel intimidated. Proverbs 29 and 25 says, fear and intimidation is a trap that holds you back. But when you place your confidence in the Lord, listen to what I'm saying, you will be seated in high places. Did you just hear me say that? When you open up your mouth, when you proclaim the word of God, you are no longer intimidated. You're no longer feeling fearful. You're no longer afraid. Why? Because you open up your mouth and you're proclaiming what thus says the Lord. Glory to God. Huh? You having confidence. Oh, yeah. Having confidence can run that old fear away. Confidence. Being not afraid that I can do all things. What? I can do all things through Christ, because he gives me what? He gives me strength. And when he gives me the strength, he gives me the knowledge. He gives me the willpower. He gives me the know-how. He gives me the wisdom. Glory to God. All wisdom comes from God. Hey, anybody listen to what I'm saying? The wisdom comes from God. Yeah. So we can make it happen. We can make it happen, but all we have to do is make the right choice. Follow the right leader. Glory to God. And his name is Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Fear of man prove to be a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord, glory to God, trust in the Lord, and he going to keep you safe. He going to keep you safe. Huh? Jesus is the answer. This is something that when I'm doing the lesson, whatever the Spirit give me, I just write it down. And he gave me this here. He said, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there is no other, because Jesus is the way. And that's an old song, but the Spirit of God will just come and give you words and songs and melodies to just encourage you to open up your mouth, to speak the word, to speak the word of truth. This is what you have to do, because there is so much of false. The false prophets, the false teachers have risen up in the world. The false teachers know that the end is near, but we who are in Christ know that we will win. Revelation tells us, in the end, we're going to win. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Look at Genesis chapter 16, verse 1 through 16. Now, we're not going to do this whole thing. I'm going to paraphrase this because it's a lot. But I want you to just remember this story here. This is the story with Sarah and Hagar. Now, we're talking about intimidation, and the story shows us that how through the intimidation that comes from Sarah, Hagar, she ran. Why did Hagar run? Hagar was intimidated. Huh? She was intimidated. But as she ran away, she was talking to Jesus. Her heart was talking to the Lord. She was trying to be obedient. She was listening to what her maidservant had told her to do. Huh? Come on now. But she was fused. Her heart was broken. She had done what she was told. Yeah, think about that. Her maidservant had told her, Sarah, to sleep with her husband. Why? Because Sarah could not have children. Yes. Of course, this we find out, and we, most of us who have studied this story, know that this was Sarah's plan. God had nothing to do with this. This was the plan that Sarah herself put in place. How many times do we, as believers, we are believers, but we are human. We are human. We make mistakes. We have done things that we try to act like it didn't happen, or we done forgot that, huh? But we go before God. We don't follow him. We don't listen to what Jesus is saying to us. We have a plan. We got something that we done got together ourselves, and we're going to try this out because we need to see if it's going to work. But most of the time when we do that, huh, we get in trouble. And here we see. She was confused. Her heart was broken. Mm-hmm. She had done what her maiden had told her to do, but Sarah, who was self-centered, huh, full of me, wanted her to do this. But once she did it and she began to see the reward that Hagar was getting for looking big or getting large and being adored, being pregnant, Sarah became seriously jealous. Jealousy rose up. I want you to pay attention, because one of the things that we find that goes in the group with intimidation, jealousy is one of the head leaders. Jealousy. So she took her anger, and she took her intimidation out on Hagar. This is what Sarah did. Mm-hmm. All because she didn't have any children. Now, whose fault was that? Did Hagar have anything to do with that? No, she did not. And most of the time, the people who come and try to intimidate us or even intimidate you, or maybe you have intimidated someone, they had no idea why you were doing that to them. Oh, you had no idea why it was being done to you. Mm-hmm. But in all, listen to this, in all of that, in all of that confusion, in all of that mess, there was no peace. There was no clarity. There was no peace in that house. There was no peace in there. Because Sarah was irritated with Hagar. Just to look upon her, she was angry. See, the thing is, you decide that you want to go with your plan, but you never think about the results. Hello? You never think about the results. You never think about the repercussions after you have executed your plan. Think about that. But Jesus, glory to God, but Jesus came and found Hagar. He came and found her all broken, all feeling intimidated, all in pain. Huh? And he came and he called her. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Who could come? Who could do better? Who could do better to bring us to the place of reasoning? Nobody but Jesus. Glory to God. That grace, hallelujah. The grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. His grace will do it every time. Grace, the grace of God. In all that Hagar was in, the grace of God came and guided her to where she needed to be. The place, the situation where she needed to be. He was the only one that could show her, that could guide her, that she would take heed to. The loving Savior, glory to God, came to show her. Even though she was in this situation, but she was being obedient to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because in that day and time, you listened to your handmaid. You listened to what they said. Yes. Yes. And she was being obedient. And Jesus knew that. Glory to God. Look at James. James chapter 1 and verse 12. We're going to move quickly. James chapter 1, verse 12. And it says, blessed is the man that endured temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. He promised this to you. So you can leave. You can leave with knowing that you have a blessed life when you overcome temptation. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Overcoming the need to intimidate, to make someone else feel jealous, to make someone else feel less, to make someone else feel fearful, to make someone be terrorized. Huh? Knowing that the temptation to do that, you don't have to have that. It don't have to be a part of your life. But remembering we have the victory, and the victory is in Jesus. I'm talking to you who have intimidated someone. Yeah. Who has actually intimidated. You can be an overcomer. You can overcome the spirit of intimidation. You don't have to do that. You don't have to yield in that direction. This is what we're saying. Yes, 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 yes. There is no need. Some folks use intimidation in the church. Yeah. Some folks use intimidation to get people to do things that they want them to do. Along with manipulation. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Manipulation, jealousy, all of this. This is a group. This is a group. This is the traveling gang. They all travel together. They have hidden agendas. Yes. Intimidation. To intimidate you. To bring fear upon you. To make you feel less of a person. Knowing that you can do all things through Christ. because he will give you strength. Yes. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, we see in verse 8 that Saul was jealous of David. Intimidation. Huh? Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was helping David and was no longer helping him. And that was the reason to why that was taking place. Saul, he was aware of what he had done. He was aware that he was no longer will be anointed as king. He was aware. But he became jealous of David. 1 Peter 5 and 8 tells us, our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. This is what he does. And he uses jealousy. He uses intimidation. He uses fear. He uses all of the gang together. The gang is together. And he uses this to intimidate the body of Christ. As we sit and we are sitting in church and we're sitting there and we're trying to get what the word is saying to us, the gang is present. And the gain is trying to intimidate us. The gain is trying to get us our mind off of what thus says the Lord. But I want to tell you this day, this night, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is saying to you, those who have intimidated someone, those who have manipulated someone, those who have allowed fear to come on someone else, you no longer have to do that. You are in Christ. He said that you can do all things through him. You don't have to operate on your own. You don't have to be a Sarah. You don't have to be Saul and be angry and jealous over David or over the position of that you may not have any longer. Because when one door closes, God will open up another. But we have to avail ourselves to him. Glory to God. Am I talking to anybody? Anybody getting what I'm saying? We have to avail ourselves. And intimidation is present. And intimidation is strong. He comes with jealousy. He comes with fear. He comes with terrorizing. Yes. He comes with manipulation. We who are in Christ have to be aware. We have to pay attention. We have to be alert. And know that the adversary is roaring, seeking to find who he can devour. That's what 1 Peter is telling us. So it's all in the family. They're all together. They're all together and they're all working against us, those of us who are in Christ. Now, if he's not working against you, if they're not working against you, then they must have you already. Yeah. Because, see, if they have you already, they don't have to keep going against you, trying to fight against you, or battling with you, because they got you. So you need to get free. You need to shake that off. You need to get out of bondage, out of being fearful, out of being intimidated, out of manipulating. And manipulation is simple. Manipulation is when you try to get somebody to do something that you want them to do. This is what Sarah did. Sarah manipulated Hagar. She was manipulated because she was told that she would do this and what she would gain if she did what Sarah wanted. And she listened to what her maiden said. Hagar being obedient. But it was a form of manipulation. And then she intimidated her after she began to look at her and see how beautiful she looked being pregnant. How Abraham began to just pay more attention to Hagar as opposed to her. Remember, it was her plan. She executed this plan. So as believers in Christ, we have to be very mindful of taking the lead, not allowing Jesus to drive the bus. We have to learn how to be the passengers and how to sit in the bus, huh, and ride and let him lead. Yeah, he's a leader, huh? He has the plan. He has the master plan. Are you listening to what I'm saying? We are just stewards. And all we have to do is be obedient and listen to what he say, how he say to do it. We don't have to try to master the bus. We don't have to try to figure out how to work the key. He's going to do that, our job. It's just to be good stewards. Glory to God. Our job is to just be good stewards. Our job is to know how to open up our mouth and proclaim what thus say the Lord when it's time for us to do so. Our job is for us to walk in the way that he requires for us to walk, to be the light that we talk about, that we hear about. That's our job. We're supposed to have love that surpasses all understanding. We're supposed to be concerned about one another. The folks in Florida, we should be concerned. Our hearts should be broken. We should run and want to know, what can we do? How can we help? Huh? I'm talking to the body of Christ. Yes, because that's who we are. That's a part of us. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our hearts change. Glory to God. We no longer have that stony heart. That heart is not there anymore. Now our heart is a heart that desires to be humble. It desires to be meek. That's our heart. We have the heart of love. We have the heart of being concerned for one another. That's who we are. So let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come today, God, thanking you, Lord, thanking you for everyone that's listening, God. We know that people are listening in different countries. Oh, God, we are just grateful, Lord, that we have the opportunity that we can just share your word, God. Yes, we are just grateful that you have chosen us to be doers of your word and not just hearers only. That we're going to rightfully divide the word of truth. We're going to stand and we're going to proclaim what thus says the Lord. And we will be careful to give you all praise. We will give you all honor because it's in your name. You are Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we just say amen. Amen. Now listen, tomorrow morning for 10 o'clock, the same number that you're on tonight, the same number, God Favorite Ministry will be on with prayer. And you know, prayer is what really keeps us going. I don't know if you understand that, but it's through prayer that you're able to endure. It's through prayer that you have your sanity. It's through prayer. So being prayerful and being in a prayer group is highly important. So tomorrow morning, don't forget. And of course, we look forward to having you back here with us on next Friday. Yes, with Victorious Living, your host. And we just ask that you keep Christ. Keep him in your heart. Keep him real close to you. Mm-hmm. And we know that the enemy will try to come and take him. But when we study the word and we become doers of the word, it's hard for him to take it away from us. So let us just be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Because we don't want to live in a world where we're deceived. Amen? We want to walk in Christ. Can I get an amen from anyone? Glory to God. Tomorrow morning for 10 o'clock, God Favorite Ministries. And, of course, on Saturday evening for 7 o'clock with Sister Sadie with the children, which is such a delightful service. Be blessed. Amen.